You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Scoop Podcast. I'm Wildcat Authority Senior Editor Jason Scheer. And this is a little bit different. For starters, it's the latest podcast that we've ever recorded. I was going to do one tomorrow morning, but my wife said, no, you need to respect Arizona women's basketball. I said it wasn't about this, but if you're married, you understand that your wife wins the majority of the arguments, or at least you pretend like she does. But here we are, and what a moment. It's an interesting, just from the reporter perspective moment, it's an interesting moment because if you go on the front page of Wildcat Authority right now, we have five or six articles about women's basketball. This is going to sound bad, but I'm not sure we did. We had more than six articles about women's basketball throughout the entire year, but you get the point. I mean, there isn't a website on the network right now that has as many articles about women's basketball as we do, and rightfully so. We're going to have a lot more in the next few days before Friday. Arizona is set to face UConn, which we'll get to in a bit. But it's remarkable what Adia Barnes has done because, you know, Arizona basketball was in a bad place. I mean, we're talking six-win seasons, not much talent at all. Unwatchable games, and she comes, and it took her 5 years to make a Final Four, and it is pretty impressive what she has been able to do, and just the overall way that she has done it. I watched UConn Baylor this afternoon, and those teams are loaded. They have the most, some of the most best talent in the country, but here I am watching Aria McDonald. And to me, she's the best player in the country. And I'm not the type of person that's going to watch women's basketball every day of my life, but I have yet to see a better player, and I've watched a chunk of games in the tournament. And the thing is, oftentimes we judge players by what they do on the biggest stages. And there's no doubt that in this tournament, she is the best player in the country. What she is doing is absolutely remarkable, and it's more remarkable when you keep in mind that every single team that faces Arizona knows that the key to beating Arizona is to contain McDonald, and yet they couldn't do it. You know, you look at the Indiana game, she scored 33 points, went 12 of 20 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3, and to me, the most impressive stat, she had 11 boards. Players her size should have 11 rebounds. It's pretty impressive the fact that she goes out there and she's an aggressive rebounder. She doesn't foul a lot at all. She only finished with 3 fouls. She only had 3 turnovers, placed 38 minutes. And it is just, it's going to be a while before we see a player like Aria McDonald. And Adia Barnes is recruiting up there with anyone in women's basketball. This isn't a one-year fluke. It may take some time for Arizona to recover, losing a player of McDonald's stature. But the recruiting isn't going anywhere. And with that being said, it's still going to be a while until we see a player that is as good as her. She is the best female player in school history. There's been some good ones, but I don't think there's any argument that she is the best. And basically what we're seeing is, for a lot of people that watch men's basketball, there's that one player that puts a team on his back and kind of makes that run. And that's what McDonald's doing. Arizona is a talented team, but it's clearly not the most talented team in the country. And it doesn't matter because McDonald is putting this team on her back. And, watching the Indiana game, Michael Luke and I text each other in the first 2 minutes almost at the same time and said Arizona's the better team. Even when it was close, I felt like Arizona was just the better team than Indiana. And you start to watch the game, you start to learn some stuff, and Indiana was 273rd in the nation in three-point shooting, 29%. And they don't even shoot a lot of threes. And in this day and age, with the way that the game is both in men's and women's, you have to be able to hit some threes. And the difference is Arizona went 9 of 21 from 3, and Indiana went 0 for 9. And they only attempted 9 because they're not a good three-point shooting team. And it is extremely difficult to win games like that. Indiana doesn't turn the ball over. That's how they win games. They defend. They don't turn the ball over. They had 9 turnovers. Arizona only had 8 turnovers. And it wasn't just McDonald. I mean, Trinity Baptiste, 12 points, 10 rebounds. Helen Pueyo, 2 for 7, you know, from 3. But the ones that she hit were big. Kate Reese didn't play great, but had the 6 boards. It was just kind of a balanced effort. Sam Thomas, she isn't going to score a ton, but she's one of the best defenders in the country. The surprising thing to me was Indiana's a pretty big team, and Arizona killed them on the glass, 42-38, had 11 offensive rebounds, 12 second chance points. Indiana didn't have any points whatsoever coming off their bench. Arizona had 11 fast break points off Indiana's 9 turnovers. Like, it was not one of those games where you go, oh, Arizona won by 13, but it was much closer than that. I don't think it was. I think that it was clear from the beginning that Arizona was better than Indiana. I didn't think that Indiana, you know, by the end of the first quarter, even if it was relatively close, I didn't say, oh man, this is a nail biter. Despite the cursing and the horrible language that my wife was using during the game, I never felt like it was in doubt. I will say that, you know, kind of touching on that, I mentioned my wife. It is very cool being able to sit and watch a basketball game with a house filled with women. My dad came over to watch it. He's not a woman, obviously, but it was my wife, my 2 daughters, daughter's friends, wife's friends. I mean, we had 8 people COVID separated. Don't worry, we're all vaccinated as well. Don't yell at me. But we were in the house watching the game, and I can't even get that done for men's games, let alone women's basketball. And it's really cool to have my daughter, who's been on this before and is going to be really pissed off when she wakes up in the morning and realizes she didn't open up the podcast. But, you know, she's Kate Reese's biggest fan, as you guys know. And just really cool to be able to sit and watch the game with them and have them actually care and cheering and pissing off the neighbors. It's you know, it's one of those things where you reflect on it and you think about how well Adia Barnes has done, but you really don't realize necessarily how well and how cool of a thing it is for Arizona until the season's over. And the fact that, you know, you have a player like McDonald, you know, we're not going to see, like I mentioned, a player like her for a long, long time. And it's a cool thing for these seniors because, you know, you take a look at men's basketball, there are literally more than 1,000 players in the transfer portal right now. And there were girls on this team where they stuck through it. I mean, they didn't leave. And the ones that got through it and left, and now the teams are successful, you know, Dia Barnes, McDonald, et cetera, they keep saying, look, you know, we're doing it for them. And it's something where, you know, they had the double overtimes, yeah, the year prior, a couple years ago. They couldn't beat the good teams. And McDonald said that she felt it last year that they were going to make a jump. And Barnes was funny because, you know, she was asked about it and she said, well, if you would have asked me, we'd have been playing UConn in the Final Four. I'm not sure I would have said yes. And I think most people feel that way. You know, unless you're from Tucson, your bracket probably didn't have Arizona versus UConn in your Final Four. But that's just the way this team has been. I mean, if you watch this team in the Pac-12 tournament, Arizona played like crap. Like, the general consensus was they're going to lose in the first or second round and get upset because they're just not playing very well. And the men's tournament, the women's tournament, I don't want to say the best team doesn't win because it often does win, but a lot of times in March, it's the hottest team. And Arizona is one of the hottest teams. It's like Oregon State in the men's tournament. No one's going to say Oregon State was better than Arizona. If you are, you're kidding yourself because Arizona dropped 98, you know, ran Oregon State off the court. But they got hot at the right time. And that's what we're seeing, what's happening with Arizona, except obviously Arizona is a higher seed. I tweeted this, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but I would be shocked if Arizona won on Friday. You know, you if you watch women's basketball, you know that it's just a completely different game in terms of parity, where, you know, the Stanfords of the world, the UConns, the Baylors, the South Carolinas, those teams are always going to be there. Like, even look at the, you know, you can make the argument, you know, look at the men, oh, Duke's in Kentucky, but it's not every year. Every year, UConn is going to be right there. And once again, 28-1, and they're just, they're really good. There's not a lot of things that they do poorly. And you take a look at their tournament, their postseason, I mean, their closest game was against Baylor. They beat Iowa by 20. They beat Syracuse in the second round, 83-47. It is just a very good Connecticut team, like they always are. And so it's you kind of take a look at them and you say, look, you know, if Arizona, I'm dead serious when I say this, if Arizona beats UConn on Friday night, it may be the most shocking thing that I've seen since I've covered Arizona athletics. You know, and there's been some surprising things. You know, I could think of a few, but to me, it's that surprising. Like, the team is just, you know, 13 consecutive Final Fours. Think about that. Imagine a men's team doing that. 13 consecutive Final Fours. It's stupid in a way. Like, it's impressive, but it's like, all right, you know, 13. And the thing is, they just reload every year. Like, their best player this year is Paige Beckers, who's, you know, a freshman, 28 points against Baylor. UConn, think about this. It's a crazy stat. UConn has made the national semifinals every year since 2008 and won six titles during that span. Arizona's in their first Final Four. Paige was 6 years old when UConn started its run of consecutive appearances in the Final Four. I mean, it's just, and they were down 10 points against Baylor. Okay, you know, Baylor's really good. Rather face Baylor than UConn. And then UConn goes and scores 19 consecutive points, you know. It's a very difficult matchup. You know, they're big. It starts with their guards. They got Paige. They got Kristen Williams, who's another one. Another guard who's very good. And they're going to go out and they're going to play three players 40 minutes, similar to what Arizona does. And they're going to say, you know, kind of go get them. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be extremely difficult, obviously. But it kind of feels like Arizona's playing with house money, in the sense where nobody is expecting Arizona to win this game. And I know Adia Barnes has consistently said nobody's expecting Arizona to be there. Look, there are a few people who aren't shocked by this. Arizona's a 3 seed. There is nobody that is reasonably going to say that Arizona could beat UConn. And if Arizona loses to UConn, this season has been such a success in such a unique situation that you're kind of watching the game on Friday saying, whatever. If Arizona beats them, it's amazing. If they lose, whatever. Final Four, fifth year, Aaron McDonald gets to go out with the Final Four. You know, girls like Trinity, Sam Thomas, Kate Reese, etc., they get their Final Four, and she's building towards the future. And it's just it's a remarkable thing. And so, very fun. I think it's cool how Tucson has been brought together by the whole thing. Forget the whole Sean Miller arguments. I'm not getting into those, but it's just cool. And, you know, I'm not sure. I was talking to my wife, do we riot if they win? Like, what do we do? Like, how do you approach women's basketball national title games? Like, do you go burn a couch if they win on Friday? Do you wait? Does COVID hold that up? Do you run through the street naked? Like, there's so many options, but I don't really know, you know, how you approach that. So maybe you guys could give me some pointers. Hopefully it's not the last one I said, running through the street. That could be a little dangerous for all of us. But, you know, Arizona won, and when they lost, your natural reaction was to burn Tucson down. But I don't know if with women's basketball, that's the same thing. It's very, you know, it's a little confusing. We might need to talk about that. But either way, really cool situation, cool place to be in. You know, we'll have women's basketball coverage throughout the week. The most women's basketball, I'm telling you right now, the most women's basketball coverage throughout the week will be on our website. Not the newspapers, not the other websites. It'll be right here on WildcatAuthority.com. Stay tuned. Thank you guys, and bear down.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.